Now I invite you to turn back to Acts chapter 6, and we're going to resume the short series we were looking at a few weeks ago entitled Personality and Spirituality. We're thinking about how, as human beings, we all have different personalities. We were thinking, first of all, about the, we're using a five-letter word, the word ocean, to help us to remember the five personality traits we're thinking about. And these are five personality traits that in study after study really seem to be the traits that can characterize you and me. So the word ocean, the letter O, was thinking about openness. Some people have a characteristic of being open to new experience. Other people are very conservative. And then last time we were thinking about C for conscientiousness. Some people are very conscientious, very diligent. Others are very easygoing. The E today is for extroversion. Okay, so we're going to think about extroversion and introversion today. Some of you here this morning are introverts, and some of you are extroverts. Some of you probably lie somewhere in between the extremes. And you've got to live with that. So when you're born, you can do little to change your personality throughout life. You can change your character, but you can't change your personality. You can change it very little, perhaps, but not a great deal. And we're looking at this passage in Acts 6 to help us to think about this. So verse 2 of Acts 6, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So as we've done in past studies, let's first of all try and think about who you are. What's your personality? Are you an extrovert or are you an introvert? Are you someone who gets energized in the company of other people and gets worn out by being alone? Or are you someone who gets energized by being on your own and gets worn out when you're with other people? Okay? So the extrovert, if you're an extrovert, then you'll be at ease in busy situations, busy social situations. You're good at mixing, good at getting out there. You're happy to be the centre of attention, the life of the party. You're able to captivate people in your conversation. You're able to take charge. But behind it all, really, the thing that characterizes your personality is that you seek a buzz. You seek emotionally rewarding behavior, even sometimes in risky ways, but most of the time just by being with people and getting a buzz out of their company. That's the extrovert. On the other hand, the introvert enjoys solitude, likes being in his or her own company, likes getting in there, the opposite of like thinking about feelings and about themselves, works best on their own, finds it relatively easy to concentrate, listens well, prefers small gatherings, doesn't like small talk, feels drained after socializing, is happy to allow other people to lead, and cares less than most people about status. That's the introvert. So did you find yourself there, I wonder? Hands up the extroverts, hands up the introverts, because introverts won't put their hands up because they're introverts. The extroverts say, "I'm an extrovert." It's interesting, it's actually fascinating. I read a book about this recently entitled Quiet. It's by a woman called Susan Cain. And I was on holiday, it was actually last summer, I was on holiday, and I went to Inverness for a day, and I did what I don't normally have time to do, is just wander around a bookshop in Inverness, and there's a big table of books, and one caught my eye because it was the least noticeable book on the table. They all had bright covers to attract attention. There was this book, it was just plain white, and you couldn't even see what the title was because it was embossed in raised lettering, but it was still white. You had to sort of look closely to see what it was. And the title was Quiet by Susan Cain. And its subtitle was something like The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Fascinating, very, very well researched book. And Susan Cain reckons that in the past, in our Western societies, introversion was the highly rated character trait. The person who was the thinker, the writer, who opened his or her mouth and spoke things that were worth hearing. And she also reckons that still today in Eastern countries in Asia, the introvert is still more highly rated than the extrovert. But her thesis is that in the West today, it's the extrovert that is, she calls the extrovert ideal, is what is touted in our society. So the person who's the socialite, the celebrity, is the highly rated person. Well, that may be true or not, but the fact is that we can all point to people we would identify as extroverts and people we would identify as introverts. And maybe we would identify ourselves in one other camp, or maybe we feel we've got a bit of both, which is perfectly possible too. But the fact is, we can't really do much about it. You can't say, you know, I'm such a really quiet person, and suddenly at 50 years old you say, right, I'm going to become a big, bright extrovert. You can't do that. It's your personality. It's something you're inborn with. The fact is, the church has niches for everyone. This church has places for all kinds of personalities. If you're a doer, if you're a mover and shaker, if you're an out there person, you like socializing, there's plenty of roles for you in the church in that kind of way. If you're someone who's much more contemplative, someone who likes stillness and quiet, then there are roles as well where you can work alone on behalf of the church. Looking at this passage here, first of all, let's see what's happening. Verse 1 tells us there's a problem. The problem is that in the church in Jerusalem, there are two kinds of Jews. I mean, it's still largely a Jewish church in Jerusalem at this stage. It hasn't really reached out to the Gentiles yet. And there are two kinds of Jewish Christian. There's the Hebraic Jews, who are probably indigenous to Jerusalem. They've lived there all their lives, and they're soaked in Jewish culture, and they speak the language, the Aramaic Hebrew language they speak. But then there's a whole array of Jewish people in what they call the dispersion, all around in the Roman Empire. And people quite often, later on in life particularly, would kind of migrate back towards Jerusalem, or maybe towards Jerusalem, maybe they'd never really been there, and settle there. And of course they were soaked in a different culture. They were Greek in culture, and they were Greek speaking. And so there was a big cultural divide between these two groups in Jerusalem within the church. Now, in the days before social security provided by government, the church, or indeed the synagogue before the church, provided in Jerusalem for those who were in poverty. And the widows, particularly, were prone to being in poverty. There were lots of widows. Remember, the church numbers thousands of people. Lots of widows, and the church had to look after them. But what was happening was that the apostles were doing the job of looking after the widows and making sure they had food every day. And on top of all their other responsibilities, particularly to found the church and teach the church and pray for the church, they were just overworked. They couldn't do it. And they're neglecting some of the widows. They just can't get round them all. And it seems they're concentrating more on the indigenous Jerusalem widows and not giving as much attention to the Greek-speaking widows. So there's a complaint, and there's a bit of potential division in the church. And the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians are saying, apostles, you need to get yourselves organized. You need to feed our widows. and the apostles are saying, but we are called to the ministry of God's word and to prayer, and we can't do this social work job, if you like, we'll be spread too thinly. Now it happens that these two kinds of jobs would suit different kinds of personality, and this is what I'm going to kind of bring in the extrovert introvert thing, because the getting out there and feeding the widows and being in among people, that's something that an extrovert really takes to very easily. The sort of contemplative, listening to God's word, thinking about what it means privately, praying, and then coming out into sort of control situations of teaching where you're sort of in charge, that suits an introvert very much. So how did they resolve this problem? Well, what they didn't do was create what you'd call a dichotomy. What they didn't do was say, well, of course, the important thing is the feeding, and the important thing is the widows, and the important thing is making sure they're fed. So we'll do that, and we'll forget about praying and the word of God. No, they don't do that. And they don't do it the other way about. They don't say, well, no, the important thing is the spiritual thing. We need to give ourselves to God and to prayer, and if we don't have time for the widows, then too bad. The important thing is God and prayer. They don't do that. They don't create that kind of dichotomy. They don't sort of say some Christians are called to be the kind of out there extrovert sort of people, socializing, mixing, telling people about Jesus, doing the social work thing. And some Christians are called to be the introvert kind of people that just kind of like to be on their own and prayer before God and, you know, contemplating what his word means, meditating, that sort of thing. They don't say that one's important or the other's important. What they actually say is we need both. Often churches make the mistake of emphasizing one or the other. You'll see churches that are tremendous in their social outreach. They really look to their communities and they see what the needs are and they get out there and they give a lot of attention to that, but often don't prioritize at the same time the need to meet God, to pray, to listen to what his word says, and to live out the gospel in a real close relationship with God. And other churches maybe take the opposite view, and they're very good in Bible study and prayer and kind of meetings for the church, but not good at really being out there in the community. And the apostles are showing us here they value both. Verse 2, they say, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So we're going to do both. We're going to choose seven men, sometimes traditionally called deacons. We're going to choose these seven men to look after the widows. And verse 4, we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Both things are going to happen. Both things are important. Different churches tend, though, to emphasize different aspects of this, often according to the kind of personality of the people in the church, personality of the leadership. Some people would say that this part of the world, particularly those that are indigenous to this part of the Highlands and the Islands, that they're generally more an introvert kind of people. Because what people suggest has happened is that with all the emigration from Scotland, particularly from the Highlands and the Islands, that took place especially in the 19th century, those that were extroverts, those that were sort of let's get up and go kind of people, those that were the people that didn't mind moving out into new social situations, moving out and meeting new people, they left Scotland and they went to the New World. And the New World is populated by people who did the same from other countries as well, from other parts of Europe and other parts of the world, in fact, beyond Europe. And so people would say that the gene pool, if you like, in America, North America, is one of extroversion, more so than introversion. And the gene pool in the Highlands is more introversion than extroversion. And it's quite possible to argue that the Free Church, for example, which has a large base in the Highlands, was very good at the introvert sort of thing, the sort of contemplative, prayerful, you know, Bible, doctrine, you know, that kind of thing, small meetings, kind of thing, house fellowships, that sort of thing, but was maybe not so good at the kind of organised outreach to the community. They're really getting out there and socially looking after and, you know, bringing the gospel to their communities. Whereas out in America, the other side seems to be true. Bill Hybels, for example, Bill Hybels, who started the Willow Creek Church movement in the States, he says in the early days of our church, he says, Willow Creek, which just mushroomed incredibly, thousands, tens of thousands of people very quickly became part of this movement. In the early days, he says, when anyone showed any spiritual movement, when anyone became a Christian, he says, what we would do is we would point them to a group they could serve in, a ministry they could do. Okay? And much more recently, Bill Hybels has been saying this. He's saying, we made a mistake in this. He says, and let me quote him, we didn't instill a strong awareness that more than anything, people need to know how to relate to God through his word and how to hear his prompting, how to navigate a day with him in your head and in your heart, at your side, all of that. It's a deep regret I carry. So what he's saying is, we did the extrovert thing. We did the waiting on the tables. We did the programs. We got people socially involved. We got people meeting new friends. But we forgot to get them studying the Bible. We forgot to get them listening to God. We forgot to get them praying. Both things are important. The things that come naturally to the extrovert, the getting out there, the social, the evangelistic, they're important. Things that come naturally to the introvert, the quiet, the solitude, the reflection, the prayer, meditation, listen to the word, small groups, that sort of thing, one-to-one sort of things, prayer triplets, whatever you think about, they are important too, but they're both important. They're complementary. They're necessary. They're essential. If you look in the New Testament, you often find the two things going together. For example, just give you a few quotes from Paul's letters, Ephesians 6. Paul says, pray that I may fearlessly make known the gospel. So there's the sort of, you guys on your own, please pray for me, but so that I can do the getting out there with the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1, he says, we constantly pray for you, that our God may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. So he's saying, we pray, we wait in God, just solitude, seeking God, please God, help these people when they're out there. Every act prompted by your faith. 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, all scripture, is all the Bible says, God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, instructing in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why do you study your Bible? Well, the Bible studies, maybe the private, personal thing, but so that you can get out there and do good work, do good works for God. We need to do both. That's what the apostles are saying here. We need both. We need the people ministry and the prayer ministry. We need both. We need the apostles who can do the sort of contemplation and really getting the church on a sound footing doctrinally and praying for people in need. And we need the out there, waiting on the tables, feeding the widows, looking after the people in need, bringing the gospel out there. It's interesting, if you read on, you find that those that are appointed to waiting on tables, if you like, particularly Stephen and Philip, turn out to be amazing evangelists, and they're out there. They really are out there, telling the gospel, big time, as well as looking after the widows. And of course the apostles themselves, who are out there, they're also very, very much men of prayer. Both sides of personality are in the deacons and in the apostles, but that's because they say both are important. Both are important. So you might think to yourself, well, actually I'm a Christian who finds it really easy to pray. I find it quite easy to listen, read the Bible and to meditate and reflect. I find it really difficult to go and work at the Open Door Cafe on a Friday, or you know, to tell other people about Jesus. I find that difficult. I can't. It's the social side. I find that really, really hard. But you need to work on it, because we need both. Someone else here might be saying, "Oh, I love getting out among people. You know, bring on any kind of social stuff in the church. Not enough of it. The church needs to have more kind of meetings, more stuff going on, bringing the community in. But see me on my own in prayer with God, I can't go 5 minutes." You know, some people are like that. And we need both. So if you're an extrovert, you'll probably find it very easy to be out there socializing and using your social skills, your love of the buzz of company to promote the work of the church and to tell people about Jesus and their need of salvation. But you might find it really difficult to complement that with being on your own with God, listening to what his word says and praying. And you've got to work on that. If you're an introvert, though, you might find that second thing's easy for you. You can spend hours in the Bible and hours in prayer, and you're quite happy on your own, but you're very uncomfortable if you have to be in a social situation with lots of people. And you need to work on that. You need to work on using your friendships for the gospel. Maybe you're sort of neither an extrovert or an introvert. There's a creature called an ambivert, by the way. Maybe if you're an ambivert, you've got to work on both, perhaps. Or maybe both come easily to you. It is said that the 2007 stock market crash, and this is something that Susan Cain says in her book, actually, I've read it elsewhere too, happened because the people who were doing all the trading, the stocks and the shares, commodities, people who were the kind of hedge fund managers, people who were moving vast amounts of money around the world, they were the people that liked the buzz. They were the extroverts. And they didn't mind the risky behaviour, because that's what they thrived upon. And all the interaction and the hubbub and the noise of the stock market floor and so on. But all the time there were these introverts, thoughtful people, who also studied the stocks and shares, who looked at them and said, "Well, wait a minute, this isn't going to work forever. There's trouble around the corner." And they were trying to tell the extroverts about this, and the extroverts said, "Oh, I'm not going to listen to that." They were too much enjoying the buzz of handling the big money. The introverts were right. We need our introverts and we need our extroverts. And both need to feed on each other and learn from each other. Same in the church. Free Church is going through an interesting period just now. I think it's moving from a situation in which the kind of introvert style of leadership is being displaced by the extrovert style of leadership, as it is in society in general. And our church has become very dependent on a few big personalities. But when I look around my colleagues, I think that a lot of them are classic introverts. And it's not easy if you're an introvert in an extrovert's world. But the fact is, we need to watch we don't go to extremes. If we were in the extreme of being too much valuing the introvert and suppressing the extrovert, which I think is what we did in the past, we need to watch now that we don't too much value the extrovert and not listen to the introvert. We need the input of both. We need the thoughtfulness. We need the prayerful example. We need to listen to what the Bible's saying and to reflect on that privately, personally, contemplatively, before God, as well as needing to be out there in the public eye, doing work that impacts Scotland as a nation, doing work that impacts our communities, that's very visible, that's very much about helping people where they are, and spiritually and socially with their needs. We need what the apostles taught us here. We need the word of God and prayer, and we need the waiting on tables and the evangelism. We need both. And it's only when the church really gets the balance right that it really thrives. And verse 7 tells us that after they had put in place the diaconate, if you like, so the church is united again, the widows are being all looked after, the Grecian widows and the Hebraic widows, and the apostles are really giving themselves to praying for the church and really listening to God's word and making it known to the church and teaching. Verse 7, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. When the church is balanced, it grows. May God help us to then achieve balance in our own lives, recognizing our personalities. You know, maybe being strong in some areas, but recognizing we need to work in other areas in our lives so that we both feed the widows and do the praying, so that we both get out there and get in there. We both do the private and the public Christianity well. May God help us to do that individually and as a church to achieve balance. And if we do, we can expect the word of God to spread and the number of disciples, once again, to increase rapidly. Amen.